With the start of school just weeks away, education leaders, they're scrambling to review their plans as the spread of the Delta variant rises. State health officials say COVID-19 cases involving children have climbed in recent weeks, along with other age groups. Are you a parent of a K-12 student? What decisions are you weighing as the new school year approaches? Is your child too young to be vaccinated? Are you worried about sending them back to the classroom? Have you made a decision about virtual learning? What is it? Join in 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. In just a moment here, we're going to be talking with Madeline Fox, who is Wisconsin Public Radio's K-12 education reporter based in Milwaukee. Maddie, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
So you've been looking at school districts without any COVID precautions in place or remote learning alternatives planned for the fall. What have you been finding?
So the thing about this year, as opposed to last year, is we don't have a statewide mask mandate in place, which means that school districts have more leeway in deciding if they want to mask this year. And a lot of them are deciding that they don't want to. Part of that is, you know, some districts made that decision at the end of last school year or earlier this summer when our cases were low, when we were thinking that there might be a vaccine approved for even younger kids sometime this fall, and they're sticking with it. I think that there's a lot of COVID fatigue and frustration in some school districts, as well as we really did kind of see the political calculus of some of these COVID precautions change since last year, because we saw some really vicious fights over masking and and other COVID precautions during the school year last year. And so some school districts just don't really want to go through that again.
What is the messaging coming out of superintendents or principals about not putting precautions in place?
It's mixed. I think there a lot of them are urging families to, you know, be careful still. Some have emphasized to me that, you know, if families do still want a mask, I mean, it's not a mask requirement, but that doesn't mean that they're going to stop kids from masking if that's where a family's comfort level is. Or, you know, there are absolutely families where kids have underlying conditions that mean that they are very, very worried about what COVID could do to their kids. And so I've heard from some who are going to continue to mask. But some of the things that I'm hearing, and I don't know how universal this is in districts that are masking, but some of them, the school leaders are saying that, you know, this just isn't really necessarily their call. But their school board is making these decisions based on the makeup of those boards, and so it's kind of that's where they are.
What about CDC recommendations? How closely are they taking those into consideration?
So the CDC recommendations and the American Academy of Pediatric recommendations and even the state recommendations. We got new guidance from the Department of Health Services and from the Department of Public Instruction on Wednesday about schools. And they're all very clear that school districts should mask and that everyone in a school district, even vaccinated people, even older kids who would be vaccine eligible, even staff and teachers should all be wearing masks. But again, you know, it really is, this is a place where local control, which is a feature of Wisconsin's school system, comes into play. And so the CDC and the state agencies may be saying one thing, but it's up to the school districts if they want to follow that guidance. And many of them just have decided that they do not.
And looking at vaccines, children who are 12 and older, of course, eligible for the vaccine. How often are eligible children receiving vaccines?
I believe that the rate for kids under, or excuse me, kids between 12 and 15, and then for kids under 18, but older than 15, is still lower than the uptake rate for adults. Mm-hmm. So we're not seeing them get vaccinated as often as we're seeing adults get vaccinated. It's around, I want to say, 30% for that 12 to 15 group, and I think maybe closer to 40 for that 15 to 18. So there's a decent number of vaccinated kids, but, you know, considering certainly what we're seeing, especially recently with the Delta variant, with cases breaking through vaccination, although not serious, you know, not as serious of cases, that's probably not going to protect students if the Delta variant is in their area. And additionally, you know, because just because it's 30 or 40% statewide doesn't mean that that's what it's going to look like, you know, in an individual classroom or in an individual community.
Do you find that there's variation around the state in vaccination rates for these younger ages and these, you know, lower teens?
You know, I haven't looked specifically at that data, but mm-hmm. I do know that we've seen variations in vaccination rates overall, you know, not split out specifically by age groups in different communities. For example, Dane County is among the higher. Milwaukee County has been a little bit lower just because of various different reasons. So I would imagine that also is similar for kids.
We are checking in with WPR's K-12 education reporter, Madeline Fox. Is your school encouraging or requiring masks in person? How do you feel about the way it has handled the pandemic so far? Do you worry about learning loss? Did your child attend summer school? How did it go? What do you hope is different about this pandemic school year? Still time to talk, 800-642-1234. Back in a minute with Maddie Fox here on the Ideas Network. It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. As schools prepare to reopen for fall, many students and teachers will be reconnecting face-to-face amid the rising Delta variant. We're checking in with WPR's K-12 reporter Madeline Fox. The CDC recommends universal indoor masking for all teachers, staff, and students in K-12 schools, regardless of vaccination status. Will your school be following this guidance? Has masking been a contentious issue in your district? What information is flowing from your principal or superintendent? 800-642-1234. And Maddie Fox is with us for about 10 more minutes. Let's go to Ari now in Madison. Hi, Ari. What's your perspective?
Hi. Yeah, so I am an educator that works at a independent school here in Madison. Our name is Milestone Democratic School. And I'm just really impressed with how our school district has been handling the COVID policy with requiring all students and staff members, whether or not they're vaccinated, to wear masks indoors and outdoors, except for lunch. As well as, I wanted to mention that there are, there's a lot of contention around the vaccine. Specifically, there are some religious concerns, and I'm just really impressed with how our school has been able to handle these concerns and the passion of the staff members who are willing to get tested twice per week. Just to uphold their, in order to uphold their religious beliefs. So, still keeping the students safe and still, you know, respecting everybody's needs and beliefs.
All right. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you so much for that perspective. Maddie, does that echo elsewhere? Have you heard that?
That specific situation, I haven't heard as much. I do know definitely that that's one of the, in places that are putting in vaccination requirements, that is one of the things we're seeing, that if you won't get vaccinated or you can't, then the requirement is to test once or twice a week. So that would make sense. But yeah, I think that is one way that a lot of schools are going to, which is the masking, except for at recess. That seems to be pretty safe from what we're hearing and from what I'm hearing from health experts, and at lunch. Although, of course, when kids are inside unmasked, like during lunch, they recommend that we expand to that 6 feet of distance rather than just the three, which is mm-hmm. the new CDC recommendation.
There were so many logistical concerns around busing last school year as some, you know, schools went back in person. Will busing be different this year?
That I actually don't know as much about. You're kind of getting ahead of me on a story
that I'm
working on for next week.
Oh, well, let's look at this week at the information teens are sharing about vaccines on TikTok. You looked at social media. What kind of information is being shared?
Well, it's social media, so pretty much all information is being shared, and a lot of it not good. Although, you know, again, you know, you can find good information anywhere. It's just that on social media, sometimes it's hard to fact check it in the moment. So when I look specifically at TikTok, that is a particularly tricky one because unlike places like Twitter or Facebook or, well, not so much Instagram, I think that also falls in this bucket where it's the social media network doesn't really link out. There's just a feed of information. And the other thing about TikTok is it's pretty much entirely, what you see is almost entirely determined by TikTok's algorithm, because most of the time that people spend on TikTok, they spend on the For You page, which is sort of auto-populated one video after another by the algorithm. And so if you watch one video that has somebody saying wrong information about a vaccine or pushing vaccine skepticism, and you watch it all the way through, the algorithm says, oh, you must like that. And so they'll keep feeding you that information. And then, and this is true for everyone, not just for kids, you know, the more that we see information that's false, the more we tend to believe it. And if we keep seeing more information that reinforces that, we just kind of get this this sort of tunnel vision where we assume that that's, that we're getting all the information, even though we're not. And so when I was working on the story, I talked to the mom of a teenager who had gotten some of this TikTok misinformation and was really worried about getting the vaccine.
Hmm. Yeah, I mean, once upon a time, peer pressure used to really be something. And now we're seeing, of course, pressure play out in social media. But if your friend gets vaccinated, wouldn't that best friend teenager also want to get vaccinated?
So that depends. I mean, the thing is, because social media is its own form of peer pressure, right? You are seeing other people your age in many cases, you know, in TikTok's case, staring directly at a camera and telling you something. And so that can also feel like somebody, you know, meeting you at your level, which especially if you're in that sort of tween to teenage is really where you get a lot of your information. You know, you tend to, that's the age where you start listening to and taking cues from your peers more than like your parents or other adults. Yes, sometimes, you know, and they do recommend if you've got a teenager or a tween in your life who's getting misinformation, they will often take those corrections and those fact checks a little bit better from someone their own age than they might from a parent or an adult. But sometimes, you know, especially with misinformation, a lot of the places where misinformation takes hold is when we're scared, which is absolutely where a lot of us are after this year. And so sometimes that can make it so it's easier to take in the bad information or to take in the scary information, and that kind of overpowers the good information.
We're talking with Madeline Fox, WPR's K-12 education reporter based in Milwaukee, as we discuss issues that school districts are facing as they prepare for fall. Is your child too young to be vaccinated? Are you worried about sending them back to school? What information has been flowing from your school about the pandemic and how the protocols will be this fall? 800-642-1234. Maddie, what ways are parents trying to combat misinformation among their kids?
Well, I think that there's a few different ways they're going. Again, like you said, you know, that peer relationship is important. So trying to sit kids down with cousins or friends or other people their age who have not fallen into that same misinformation trap helps. I talked to this mom whose daughter was worried about the vaccine because of misinformation she'd seen, and she's taking her to her pediatrician because they have that pre-existing, you know, long-term trusting relationship with a pediatrician. So she's hoping that will help, especially because this girl specifically had worries about health side effects. And so they're figuring, you know, if it's a health question, the doctor might be able to help out. So it's, you know, it's the thing about misinformation that's really tricky is it's much easier to combat it when it's starting or before it happens than it is to really combat these beliefs once they're kind of entrenched, which happens kind of fast at times.
Let's turn to the mixed status families, the concerns about having mixed vaccination status. Some people vaccinated in your home, some not, as we head into another academic year. What are you hearing?
Well, with families where, say, just the parents are vaccinated or just the adults are vaccinated, or maybe some of the siblings are old enough to be vaccinated, a lot of them are still kind of acting like, to some degree, like they were before they got the vaccine. You know, they're trying to keep gathering more outdoors when they can. They're wearing masks. And sometimes that's shifted a little bit. So, like, the kids who are not vaccinated yet will be wearing masks in places where that's still required for unvaccinated members. And definitely putting off some things like longer term travel or plane travel. So and again, you know, Delta kind of complicates that conversation because, you know, where before earlier this summer, we could feel a little more confident that those vaccinated members wouldn't be able to bring the virus back home to the unvaccinated members of the family. That's not as much of a guarantee anymore.
So I know busing is one thing you're keeping an eye on. What else are you paying attention to as the new school year approaches so fast? My goodness.
Oh, my gosh, so many things. So some school districts are starting new or kind of continuing and more formalizing the virtual options that they had last year because they're seeing that there's a need for that in their in their populations. And so I'm trying to figure out what that's going to look like, what they're thinking about for that, whether that's going to be a new normal moving forward or if they expect it to be something that they'll keep going for several years or if it's just kind of a wait and see to see how it goes this year. So that's one thing. And then I think definitely a lot of questions about, you know, how schools and teachers are going to identify students that that had a hard time learning last year and getting them up to speed. And also the biggest question that I have is definitely how schools are going to meet the social emotional needs of kids who really did have a challenging couple of years.
Oh, so much. Maddie, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Madeline Fox is Wisconsin Public Radio's K-12 education reporter based in Milwaukee. Just ahead, we talk with a respiratory therapist about lung health. Stay with us on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent, and you're listening to the Ideas Network.